really even need a mic, but I'll do it for you guys. You need it for me to do the recording? All right. Sounds good. Well, it is a privilege to be with you guys this week. Like Pastor Adams was saying, I'm from Maryland, up north. I've only been to Atlanta a few times. I actually was here a couple months ago because I'm going to get into it in a little bit, but I've done some work over in Asia, and the missionaries I work with live here in Atlanta. So I came down a couple months ago. I feel like I was on the same road, so I think I was in this area close by somewhere. I don't know. But yeah, it's a privilege to be here with you all and I'm excited for this week. And I just wanted to echo what Pastor Adam was saying during that song and during worship. This weekend, you guys have a chance to get away from your normal life. You guys have a chance to withdraw from what's distracting you back home. Maybe it's summer right now, so I don't know what you guys are up to. Maybe working, spending time at home. But you guys have an opportunity to get away from everything back home and come here and be with each other. You have a chance to hear from God. You have a chance to just really soak in this time with each other. And I'm going to share a few times with you, but it's a lot more than just these meetings. You're gathered here. You're going to have a lot of free time. You're going to have time in the afternoon. And I want to challenge you guys. Take advantage of each other. Take advantage of just sharing God's word with each other, sharing what God is speaking to you with each other, and encouraging one another to walk in the ways of the Lord. I've found so many times that these types of retreats, this is where God has met me personally, and God has spoken to me personally, because we're away from distractions. So I'd encourage you, put away distractions. If your smartphone is distracting you, put it away for the weekend. Just really soak in Jesus this weekend. So the one thing I really want to speak to you guys about this weekend, and something that's going to be in all the messages and all the sessions, is Jesus. And we're going to talk a lot about Jesus, because as you guys know, the retreat is titled Unashamed. And we want to be unashamed of Jesus. And Jesus is, first and foremost, he is what makes the gospel true. And he is what we are living for as Christians. And so tonight, I want to start off by looking at a time in Jesus' life. And I want to look at a time where Jesus displayed something that we're going to talk about. And it's, if you see Jesus for who he really is, you can't help but surrender your whole life to him. And I want to start off this weekend by just challenging you to look at who Jesus is and really surrender your life. So before we start, I just felt like the Lord was giving two groups to me this weekend that he really wants to speak to. And the first group is, maybe you've grown up in the church. I'm from the church. My dad is a pastor. He became a pastor the year I was born. So he's been a pastor my whole life. And I grew up in the church. I grew up hearing about Jesus. I grew up just hearing the gospel over and over again. But I didn't fully surrender my life to Jesus until college. I thought I knew Jesus, and I believe I was a believer, but I didn't know what it really meant to surrender my life to Jesus. And so I believe God really wants to speak to you, maybe. Maybe you've grown up in the church. Maybe you've grown up hearing all about Jesus, hearing all about the gospel. But you haven't really taken a step to really put your faith fully in. Maybe your faith is Pastor Adams, or maybe it's your parents' faith, and you're going along with the motions. You're going along with the flow. But I believe God wants you to put your faith in Jesus this weekend. And then the second group is those that just don't know Jesus at all. They've heard of Jesus. If we're in America, most Jesus is talked about a good amount here. But you don't claim to know Jesus at all. You don't want to know Jesus. I believe Jesus wants to speak to you this weekend. I believe Jesus wants to reveal himself to you this weekend. So that's what I've been praying for this weekend. I'm praying that Jesus reminds us all of who he really is. So let's open up your Bible. If you have your Bible, turn to Mark 4. So we're going to look at Mark 4, verse 35 to verse 41. I want to give a little background at where we're at in the book of Mark before we jump into the section. So this is early on in Jesus' ministry, but Jesus has already done a good amount of work in the first few weeks, months of his ministry. It began right after, if you look at Mark chapter 1, you see John the Baptist. He's a fulfillment of a prophecy that was prophesied in the Old Testament. He comes and he declares that Jesus is coming, and that prophecy is fulfilled. And then Jesus comes. That's another prophecy that was fulfilled. So there's a lot of prophecies being fulfilled. And then we see Jesus calling disciples. We see Jesus healing sick people. We see Jesus casting out demons. And we see Jesus doing a lot of teaching. And that's what we get to right before this section. Jesus was starting, his fame was starting to go out. People started to hear about Jesus and were hearing his teaching, and they were coming to him and listening to him. And right before we get to this section, Jesus had gone across this lake to preach, and the crowds were so many that he had to get back in the boat and preach from the boat because the crowds were just pushing into him, and he was going towards the water. So he had to jump in the boat, and he's preaching, and he's been preaching, 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 and teaching them and speaking in parables. And we get to verse 35. So let's read this, and then we're going to talk about this section. All right? Is everyone there? All right. Mark 4, verse 35. And I have the ESV version, so it might be a little different what you have. Verse 35. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. And other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" All right, so let's look at the story. Jesus gets into this boat, and he's going across the boat. It's like a 5 or 6 mile journey back across. And Jesus had just poured himself out. He had just been teaching these crowds. He had just been loving these people. His love had been showing through his actions of healing, casting out demons, and just spending time with these people. And so he's tired. So he's like, "All right, we're going back across the lake. And what does he do? He just falls asleep, right? He goes to the bottom of the boat, and he's out. He's out cold. He's exhausted. And this is important to see because you see in this instant, this is one of the instances in Scripture that we see Jesus' fully human nature. So Jesus is fully human, fully God, right? And he's fully God. He comes down and becomes a man. And this is a picture of Jesus being fully human. It's one of the instances in Scripture that we see this. And so we see Jesus is fully human. We see him sound asleep. And then, so in this lake, there's no, it's calm when they get into the boat to go across. But it's surrounded by like mountains, and wind just comes in really fast. So all of a sudden, this windstorm comes in. So it wasn't like Jesus went to sleep when the wind was happening, but he fell asleep. And then the wind comes, and he's still asleep. The wind doesn't wake him up. That's how exhausted he is. That's how much love he's been pouring out on people, which is pretty impressive, because I'm pretty sure if a windstorm came, or like you're in a boat and you're rocking back and forth, you're going to wake up, even how tired you are, right? So Jesus is out. He's asleep, and this windstorm comes in. And you have to put this in perspective. Who is Jesus traveling with? Who's with him? His disciples, right? And what are a lot of his disciples? You guys know? Yeah, fishermen. All right, so Jesus is with these disciples, and the disciples, what are the disciples? They're fishermen, so you'd think they would understand being on the sea, right? But they start to freak out, right? They see this windstorm, and they're afraid. So there's one time, this is a story, but it's not nearly as bad. Okay, so I traveled to Asia to do some, it was a student exchange program, but I was sharing the gospel with people that never heard Jesus, which we're going to talk about more tomorrow. But I'm out there, and we have to get to a village. And there's this boat there. It's probably 6 feet long, probably about that wide. And we're supposed to fit 8 of us on this boat. And it's made out of bamboo, and it's made out of, like, it was not sturdy. So we get on, and, like, as you're getting on, the boat's, like, wobbling back and forth. So we get all 8 people on, and it's literally that far above water because there's 8 of us. And the guys rowing us down the river, and I was freaked out because I was like, if I move a little bit to the left, the whole boat's going to fill with water, and we're going in this water. I don't know what's in this water. We're going to be eaten. I'm going to die. I was freaking out, but we made it. I prayed a lot, and God answered that prayer. But we made it. But I can test. I can see how, like, if there was a storm, even I would have been right in these disciples' shoes. Right? They were scared. And so the storm is going. And so we see this: Jesus asleep, storm's going. And what do the disciples do? They run to Jesus. And instead of being like, Jesus, wake up, there's a storm. What do they say to Jesus? This is important. We see something about their heart. What do they say to Jesus? Can someone say it to me? Do you not care? Do you not care for us? Do you not care that we're perishing? And what does that show about their hearts? Like, think about it. They had just been spending so much time with Jesus. They had just been seeing Jesus heal these sick people. They had seen Jesus cast out demons. They had seen Jesus give his life to these people and teach them, and yet they're still accusing him of not caring. And I think we all are in this boat sometimes, right? And it's something important to see, because these disciples had been seeing all this stuff, but yet they still had no faith, right? And I think a lot of times we want to see something from Jesus to believe him. And this is a perfect instance where, like, they're seeing, but they're not believing. And so there's so many times where I've just been like, Jesus, you have to do this for me to believe you. And that's not faith. That's not what faith is. What is faith? Faith is believing something based on God's promises and words, right? And we have God's promises and words here. And we have to have faith that Jesus is who he says he is. So faith is not based upon seeing some act. It's a heart matter. So do you guys trust Jesus and his word? And we see here the disciples, they're accusing Jesus of not caring for them, even though they're seeing all this stuff. So they wake him up, and Jesus doesn't even say anything to them, right? Jesus just gets up, and he says three words. What does he say? Peace, be still. And what happens? What happens? You guys awake? The wind ceased. The storm just stopped. And think about this. Have you guys, there's hurricanes in Atlanta, right? Sometimes?
Yeah.
Hurricanes, Florida. There's more Florida, but. All right. Have you guys seen tornadoes? Like, imagine you're, like, standing out there, and all of a sudden you see a tornado across the lake and it's coming right at you. And, like, you're freaking out. And then your friend next to you just goes, peace, be still. And it just disappears. Would you guys be freaked out? Yeah, I'd be freaked out. And that's what the disciples were. They were like, the wind stopped. And the disciples stood there. And what happened to them? They had even more fear than they did of the storm. They had more fear because they saw God right there. They saw this man, and they saw something. They had seen Jesus had power over sickness. They had seen Jesus had power over demons. Yeah, this is new. They saw something in Jesus. They saw he had power over creation. This is important because, one, who's the only person that has power over creation?
God,
right? So the disciples either had to think of two things. He's either God, or he somehow has some really strange connection with God. And we have scripture, so we know that Jesus is God, right? The Bible says Jesus is God later. Jesus at this point hadn't told them that he is God. But they saw for the first time, this is the first time Jesus had fully displayed that he had power over creation and that he was God. And so you see in those three words, and that the wind ceasing, that Jesus had power over creation. And this is the most important part of this passage, that Jesus had power over creation, because it shows us who Jesus is. And so instead of getting angry at the disciples' lack of faith, Jesus gets up, displays he has authority over all creation, and then he turns to the disciples, and what does he say? What does he say? Someone read to me. No, what does he say after? He calms the storm. Yeah, so why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? He's getting after their hearts. He's like, why are you afraid? You know I'm here for you. And I think Jesus wants to remind us this weekend that he's here for us. Like, no matter what you're going through in life, no matter what is taking place, you have Jesus on your side. And, like, think about it. Jesus has given us his Holy Spirit, which we're going to talk about more later in another message. He's given his Holy Spirit to be with us at all times and help us. But Jesus is listening to our prayers. Jesus is with us at all times. And Jesus is with the disciples. And he's saying, look, why are you afraid? Have you still no faith in me? Like, I'm here. Come to me. Like, you did come to me, but don't accuse me of not caring for you. Have faith that I'm going to take care of your problems, take care of your life. And I was teaching through this passage a little bit ago, and a lot of stuff is going on in my life. My family's moving. I lost my job, blah, blah, blah. And I was teaching this, and it hit me. I was like, I'm in the disciples' shoes. I've been accusing Jesus of not caring for me because I was freaking out. I was not trusting that God was there for me. And I wasn't trusting his promises. And it hit me. I was like, I need to surrender my life to Jesus. I need to have that faith to be able to say, Jesus, you're in control. I don't need to be afraid. And I want to talk about this. I want to see that. I want you guys to see, like, Jesus has power over creation. He has power over these things. Yet, he still loves you enough that he came and died on the cross for your sins. He still loves you enough that he gave up all that he had in heaven to come down and be with us. And this fear that the disciples are feeling is the fear of the Lord. And it's what drives us to know God. In Proverbs, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It also says the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. It says the fear of the Lord leads to life. Like, fearing Jesus is what leads us to know Jesus. Have any of you guys read the Chronicles of Narnia? Anybody? Yeah, okay, so you guys know Lucy and Aslan. I don't know if you guys remember the scene, but Lucy goes to Aslan. Aslan is the lion, and he portrays Jesus. And Lucy is a girl that's with Aslan. And Lucy goes up to Aslan, and she goes, Aslan, are you safe? And do you guys remember what Aslan says? Anyone? He says, no, I'm not safe. And he's getting after the point that he's in control. He's worthy of being feared. Why? Because his holiness separates us from him. God is so holy that we can't get anywhere near him without Jesus. And that's why we fear him, because we can't get near him because his holiness separates us. So therefore, he has to pour his wrath out on us. But he poured his wrath out on Jesus so that we didn't have to face that wrath. So Jesus, he's not safe. God's not safe, but Jesus has made a way for us to come to him, and that's grace. And we're going to watch this video in a minute. It's going to show us a little bit. This video is, do you guys know who Louis Giglio is? He's down here, so a lot of you guys might know who he is, Louis Giglio. I was at this conference, and he was preaching. And he did this video. You'll see it in a minute. But he puts into perspective a little bit of who Jesus is and what he's receiving. And when I get back up, I'm going to talk a little bit about Jesus and what he left to come be with us. But I want to watch this video. The projector's not working, so we're going to put it on the laptop so you guys won't be able to see it too well, but it's more listening to it anyways. So can we pull that over here?
Yep.
Put your finger there, and now go back to Colossians 1. Alright? Hold your place there and go back to Colossians 1. Alright, I want to take you on like a little journey inside my head of what happened to me a few years ago when I decided I wanted to surrender my life to Jesus. And this is how Jesus met me. I was studying God's Word, and God's Holy Spirit just was really speaking to me. And I opened up to Colossians 1, and I really wanted to understand this Jesus that we're talking about in Mark 4, this Jesus that calmed the storm, this Jesus that displayed his power over creation. And I came to Colossians 1, verse 15. And it says, read with me, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And I stopped there and I saw, all right, this is Jesus they're talking about. They're talking about Jesus here. And he was the one that created the world. He was at the beginning of time. And it doesn't say that he just created all things. He said he created all things for him. Do you guys see that? So everything was created through him, and everything was created for him. And it goes on, it says, and he's before all things, and in him all things hold together. So not only did he create all things, and not only did he create all things for him, he's holding all things together. This is the Jesus we're talking about in Mark 4. And so then I flipped over to Revelations 4. Revelations 4. And look at let's start at verse 6. All right? Is everyone there? Revelations 4, verse 6. And it says, "And before the throne, there was as were a sea of glass like crystal." And this is talking about the throne in heaven. "And around the throne, on each side of the throne, are four living creatures, full of eyes in front and behind. The first living creature like a lion, the second living creature like an ox, the third living creature with the face of a man, and the fourth living creature like an eagle in flight. And the four living creatures, each of them with six wings, are full of eyes all around and within, and day and night, they never cease to say, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come.' And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who is seated on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne, saying, 'Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created.'" And we get an image of heaven here. We get an image of what Jesus was and is experiencing today. It says, look at verse 8. It says, "Day and night they never cease to say." So this is 24/7 in our terms, never ceasing, never stopping. Jesus is receiving this glory and this honor and this praise. And as I looked at these two scriptures, I started to think about it, and I was reading the Gospels and I was studying the Gospels, and I realized just Jesus, who he was. And it hit me. Like, I knew, I'd heard about Jesus all my life, but it hit me. And this Jesus gave up all of that, even though he created everything and he was receiving 24/7, he gave up all that to come be with us, to come live amongst us, to come ultimately die on the cross for our sins. And so we see this Jesus in Mark 4 demonstrating part of who he is. And we start to see Jesus a little bit more clearly. And my prayer is that you guys this week are going to start to see Jesus more clearly through his word, not only in these sessions, but on your own. Read God's word. It's living and active. My prayer is that as you guys, we talk about Jesus, and as we talk about Jesus amongst each other, as you look at Jesus in Scripture, that you can't help but surrender your life to him. I think God wants to ask you if you're willing to do that. You see, when we surrender our lives to Jesus, we can't play any games. Like, Jesus isn't someone to be flirted with. Jesus isn't someone to be like, "All right, I'm going to give you part of my life, but I'm going to hold on to that." So fully surrendering our lives means we give up our will to him, and he takes over our lives. And I can attest, Pastor Adam can attest, I'm sure more people in this room can attest, because they've surrendered their lives fully to Jesus. But when you surrender your will to Jesus, you receive Jesus in your heart, and you can't help but to tell other people about Jesus. You can't help but to be unashamed for Jesus. And we're going to talk about that more and more this week. You can't help but just to show the world Jesus and his love. And I really want you guys to see Jesus. And I really want you guys to surrender your lives to Jesus. But Jesus has to speak. You have to be willing. You have to open your heart like we're seeing this morning. You have to open your heart and say, "Jesus, I'm willing to surrender my life to you. I'm willing to see you for who you really are. I'm willing to understand you. I'm willing to let you take over my life." So I want to take some time to just pray right now over you guys. I'm going to ask you guys to bow your heads. And this might be new, but I want you guys to put your hands and open your hands in front of you and just be willing to receive it. If you can say this prayer with me, pray it with me. But you guys have to be willing to open your heart, all right? So let's close our eyes. Let's not be distracted by those around us. And let's talk to Jesus. Heavenly Father, we praise you. Lord, we thank you for just the way that you sent your son to be with us, the way that Jesus came to live amongst us, to love us, to spend time with us, Lord. And Lord, I thank you for the teens gathered in this room, Lord. I thank you that you have brought them here. Lord, it isn't an accident that they are here, Lord. I pray that they would understand that you are the one that brought them here, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you would just speak to them this week, that you would show your love to them, show your just your glory to them, Lord. And if you can say this with me in your hearts, if you agree with this, Lord, but I want to surrender my life to you, Lord God. I want to open my heart to you. Lord God, I want you to reveal yourself to me this week, Lord. I'm willing to receive you. I want to receive you, Lord. Show yourself to me. Reveal your love to me. Reveal your glory to me. And Lord, I pray that you would just answer our prayers this week, Lord. I pray that you would show yourself to each and every individual in this room, Lord, in a new way. Maybe they're on fire. They've already surrendered their lives to you. Lord, I pray that they would continue to see you for your who you are, Lord. Lord God, fill them anew. Refresh them, Lord, so that we spend time here, Lord, but go forth from here, Lord. I pray that your love would shine forth out of all of us, Lord God. I pray that as we leave this building, Lord, Jesus would be on display through all of our lives. Lord, we live in a messed up world. We live in a world where shootings happen, where babies are aborted. Lord, we live in a world where people are running far away from you, Lord. And I pray that the youth in this room especially, Lord, Lord God, would go forth into this world and make a difference for your name, Lord. I pray that Jesus' love would shine forth out of them, Lord God. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.